Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus, for you are indeed our heart's desire, and you are everything that we want, everything that we will ever want. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because you shield our hearts and our minds from deception, and that even as the deception increases in the world, we shall be the people that bring many to the knowledge of the truth, the real truth, the only truth, the truth of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you have given us this commission and you have sent us forth to go and deliver the truth to all the world. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, about a lot earlier this year, I spoke about a few things, and something that I spoke about last time as well, and that is how the biggest war that we are going to be having in this period is going to be the information war. Praise the Lord. It's about determining who speaks into your life and how often they speak into your life, and therefore shaping the world and everything it does through shaping the information that comes to them. Hallelujah. Now, there are certain things that, as a matter of fact, that are changing right now. I told you last time how so many people were saying that the reason that the liberals or the New World Order lost their desire, lost their what they had wanted for the American election, is because of what they call a lack of interest in traditional news media. Now, and I told you even then that they are going to start regulating social media and determining what people can hear from different places. Now, it's important to know that from the time people understood so many hundreds of years ago how important the media is, there have always been attempts of varying kinds to control what comes to the people. Because we know that, first of all, governments themselves run on deceit. All of them, without exception. Because there are certain things which people, the common people should not know, which might even be of their interest. And somehow you have to shield them, those people from those things by telling them what you think is good, or what appeals to their, you know, different sensitivities, while you go ahead and do something different, for perhaps different reasons. But I told you that the biggest plan of the New World Order, one of the biggest, is to remove the middle class. Now, some people say that's conspiracy. It's not possible. You cannot remove the middle class. I'm talking about middle class across the world. Now, I want you to understand that the things that we know now to be fact were once conspiracies. And when people said them, they were dismissed as conspiracy theorists. You understand? For so many years, there was a secret group of people called the Bilderbergs who sat once every year and determined the direction that this world would take. And for so many years, it was dismissed as a conspiracy because they would fly in at different times secretly, and somehow none of the things that they discussed were ever known by the media. Now, certain people started pursuing them in the 90s, and some people wrote books about Bilderbergs, and they were all dismissed as conspiracy, far-right things, they don't know what they are talking about. Then they discredit the person who writes about it, and eventually, but now we know that There's even a website which is controlled by the Bilderbergs themselves, in which they now tell us that they started in 1956. But for almost 40 years after they started, everybody who talked about Bilderbergs was a conspiracy theorist. You understand what I'm saying? So all the things that somebody talks about and they appear to come from nowhere and you say, no, that can't be true. It is actually true. You understand? It's just a matter of it not being ready for to be fed to the public. Now, when they realize that it can no longer be kept secret, what they do is they control the narrative. They control how you get to hear about it. So then they start their websites and then they tell you what they want you to know. So they even give you agendas of the Bilderberg meeting. For instance, this year, on their website, controlled by them, there was an agenda of the Bilderbergs meeting and the things they were going to talk about. One of the things, of course, we know I told you before, was the U.S. presidential elections. That was around June last year, or rather this year. I don't know why I'm talking as if it's already next year. And the other thing was controlling internet access to people who are of views that they don't think are right. Now, of course, we are going to use the internet to do everything we want for now, but don't think that's going to last forever, because it isn't, because they own it. You understand? Now, this week, Twitter has already taken the extraordinary step of suspending accounts of people who have views which are called far-right. Far-right means far too conservative. Now, the people whose accounts have been suspended are not the kind of people who would cause a lot of controversy for their accounts being suspended, because they are people whose views, honestly, nobody would espouse. These are white supremacists and things like that. So nobody is going to stand up and say that you should not have suspended that man's account, because the things we are writing were honestly hateful and terrible. But you see, once control starts, you don't decide when they stop. You understand? Now, I would rather that man puts all his racist stuff, but there is no control, rather than there is control of any kind whatsoever. Because when it starts, they say what he's writing is unacceptable. Now, the minute you also accept that what he's writing is unacceptable, then you've given them the power to decide what is acceptable. What if a time comes when they say, now, Christianity is unacceptable? You understand what I'm saying? Not that we have the choice, because it's their thing, but, okay, the man, some of the people whom they discontinue. But you see, that's how they always start. They start by going to one extreme where nobody can stand up and say, no. You should not have suspended that man's account. Because if you know what he was writing, of course none of us would subscribe to it. But then they said, Twitter, in the official statement, but you see, that's the beginning. Now it's just Twitter. Now next is going to be all the social media platforms. Next, Facebook, and then YouTube. Because those are the places where the American election was decided. Because you come up with a video, you post it, people watch it, and there were videos which are posted by private people which had 10 times more views than CNN and all the other controlled media outlets. So they realized that now they are losing the war. I don't know if they anticipated it. They probably did. But now they start controlling it slowly by slowly. I told you they are going to... One of the things discussed in the Bilderberg's meeting is issuing internet certificates. So it's a simple thing. Before you log on, you just name, email address, you know, the way you log into Facebook or something like that. Open an email address. So where they, you know. But then they say, for your own security, we give you a secret number which you use to log in, so that nobody can, get into your account and send things. Now, of course, everybody says, yeah, that's true. Because the other day, somebody sent me all sorts of things on Facebook. The other day, somebody was posting on my Facebook page pornographic images. So perhaps even me, I stand up and say, yeah. Now nobody can do that. You understand? Eh? Yeah, but then after that, and it always starts simple. Eh? I want you to understand, the devil's tactic has never changed throughout. It's bit by bit by bit. Now, after that, then they say, if you have views which are not right, and some of those not... Now, some of the things that I already post right now would qualify to be called not right, because they fall under what Twitter says. Our hateful conduct policy, now I'm quoting from them, prohibit specific conduct that targets people on the basis of race, ethnicity, national origin, sexual orientation. So now if I say anything about homosexuality, then my license is withdrawn. The next time I go to log on to the internet, I can no longer access it. You understand? Now then, they start determining what people have access to. Now then, but you see, the whole purpose is to control the way people think. And they have done a very good job at it so far. Only that people don't realize it. They think they actually are in control of what they think, but they aren't. Very few people are. Okay, sexual orientation, gender identity, religious affiliation, age, disability, or disease. Now, this list can be made bigger, or even the things they don't want can be fitted into some of the categories here. You understand? Now, then you give them the power to control who has access to internet. Whether you like it or not, it's going to happen. You understand? Who controls media or not. This Trump thing will just delay the inevitable. But eventually, those guys are going to have a bit of their... They are going to have their world... I mean, one world government and one world religion. The Bible says that. Not because they are all powerful, but because the Bible says that. Now, the reality is, this thing has been coming for so many years. It's just that people don't understand. Now, from way back when, like in the early 1980s, it was not allowed, for instance, in most of the European countries and America, for somebody to own more than one media house. The reason they didn't want that is because if you have views of a certain nature, you should only have one place to distribute them, not owning the whole media in a country, and suddenly everybody has to be subjected to what you think. You understand? But that law was removed in the mid-1980s. So now you have 5 or 6 companies, conglomerates, that control all the media in the so-called free world. You understand? 5 or 6. So in other words, you have 6 CEOs, 6 men, who determine what you know, how you know it, when you know it, and even give you suggestions of how to respond to it. And those 6 men are members of the Bilderberg group, which meets, which is the cabinet of the God of this world. In other words, they get their directions straight from where? From the devil. From the devil. And some of them actually come out and say it. But they get their instructions directly from the devil. Now, then they own all these things. How did they get it? By just buying. Because they had the money. So somebody, your newspaper gets broke, they buy it. So you end up in a scenario where just a handful of people are controlling everything. So whichever news channel you tune into, the same thing. So now, you have zero choice. Now, they don't just own those. They actually own also the entertainment channels. They own the Hollywood, you know, whatever. They own everything. So they produce every kind of television or anything that comes out of the screen that you listen to. Now, there was a quote which I picked from a fictional character in the movie 1976. Now, okay, this is just a fictional character. But sometimes a lot of things are said in movies, which, not sometimes, so many times. This guy says, the only truth that you know, the only truth you know is what you get through this tube. The tube meaning the television. Right now, there is a whole entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. Now, that is 1976. Imagine how much more true that is right now. A whole generation that does not know anything other than what comes out of this tube. Okay? This tube is the gospel, the ultimate revelation, This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. This tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. And woe is us if it ever falls in the hands of wrong people. Now I'm going to read it as it is, even with the swear words. And when the 12th largest company in the world, which was true at the time, controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, and who knows what shit will be peddling for truth on this network. I told you I'm going to read it with all the swear words. Okay? So you listen to me, listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We are in the boredom killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to yourselves. But man, you are never going to get any truth from us. We'll tell you anything you want to hear. We'll lie like hell. We'll tell you any shit you want to hear. We deal in illusions. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds, all of you, you know, you are all beginning to believe the illusions we are spinning here. You are beginning to believe your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube, you eat like the tube, you raise your children like the tube, you even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion. So turn off your television set. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of the sentence that I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off. Now, the guy says they create an illusion and cause a whole society to believe that that is the real deal. You understand? And make you think that the life you lead is what? Is fake. Now, 10 years ago, it was an abomination to be even in support of homosexuality. But now, you even hear pastors saying, I'm not homophobic. And you see, they have turned it all around. Now, suddenly, the evil people are those who are homophobic. Not those who are homosexuals. Why? Because homosexuals are what? Are cool, according to them. Now they create that illusion, and you even find Christians falling for it, and somebody stands up and says, no, the problem with the church is that they are too homophobic. They are as homophobic as the Bible. The most homophobic script is the Bible, and I'm going by it. So when somebody tells me you're homophobic, I said, amen. Because that's who I am. I mean, the point is, but you see, they fool everybody, and they don't just determine politics. I wish they just stopped at politics. But they determine social things. They determine what you believe. And you see, the purpose of the enemy is not to stop at politics. Politics ends here. It's going to end in a few years. You understand? At the Battle of Armageddon. The purpose of it is to change beliefs. Is to change what you believe. Is to change your faith. Because that has eternal consequences. Is to take people to hell. That is the purpose of all of it. Not all these things. Now, the trouble is, when people, politics, it will have its thing and what. But if the politics only controls what is happening on earth, then it's not totally controlled by the devil. Because the devil is not terribly interested in what happens here on earth. He's interested in how many people are being converted away from the path of truth to the path of this. If he's not going to change how people entirely believe about Jesus Christ, maybe he's not going to make them unbelievers, but he can make them lukewarm believers. Okay? Then they start arguing things from the mind and they stay in the mind realm. Then they start arguing, you know, things about tongues, over tongues are this. And I've seen even people who are Christians. And these things. In the mid-90s, when I got saved, there was not a single Christian church which was saying anything about tongues because it's in the Bible. But you see, now you find even Pentecostal churches arguing about tongues. And you wonder what befell us. Do you understand? And then they are posting their arguments on Facebook and then getting people commenting who are even unbelievers. Those are not things you put to unbelievers. How is an unbeliever supposed to understand when you say Shaka Brazata Rava Sharaba? I mean, that is beyond him. Amen? The fact that you even put it on their forum means that you've lost your marbles. You've been listening to so many things that are from the channel. Now, the battle for information has only just begun. Praise the Lord. It has only just begun. This man, who is a fictional character, says, if you want the truth, go to God. This tube does not have truth. This tube has an illusion. People determine what is good, what is right, what is cool. They determine who is cool, who is what, and then they present people to you, and then you start following people like keeping up with the Kardashians and what. And you look at, okay, maybe I'm a bit too old for some of those things. But sometimes I go, even home, and I find the young people whom I live with watching those things. And I'm looking at them, okay, and I'm thinking, how can anybody enjoy this? Then I imagine maybe I'm 15 or so years too late for this. But the honest truth is, there is no way you can watch that thing, those things, and it does not affect the way you think about certain things. Amen? It might not make you backslide and become an unbeliever, but it will affect the level of your Christianity. You become like the church in Laodicea, who say that we are rich, yet, and Jesus says you're very poor. Who say we can see, Jesus says you can't see. Then he says, go and buy, I serve, and put on your eyes so that you start seeing. Because you think you can see, but you can't see. You think you're rich, yet you're poor. You think you're clothed, yet you're naked. And now that is the church that we are in right now. Because in the seven churches, the Philadelphia church, which is the raptured church, and the Laodicean church, which is the lukewarm church, are the ones that will be the characteristics of the time that we live in. So now people will be one of the rest. And people fall for these things. And serious people who knew the truth. And you see them going slow by slow. Now, if I started mentioning, and it starts slowly because of wanting to be accepted, what? Now there's a famous pastor who has transformed so many people's lives. But now the other day, he has Oprah Winfrey in his church. And she's asking him about homosexuals. And he's going in circles. He cannot even say the thing is not allowed in the Bible. And he's permitted to. There are some places where if you said that, it would land you in prison. Like in Europe, especially in Scandinavia. But at least they can still say that. But because, anyway. And you see, the people of the world push their agenda so forcefully and push you into a corner where somebody says you're a bigot. Now, the other day I posted on Facebook, I am a bigot. So find another word to call me that is going to annoy me. Like a liberal. Now that would annoy me. But you see, they call you, no, you're just still. And now somehow they shape you into thinking like them by just finding words which sound very bad, which they call you if you deviate from the way they think. Then they call you this, you're that, you're that. And those things sound bad. And then when they are listing them, they name them with rapists, murderers, bigots. So you say, you mean bigots are this bad? So the next time somebody calls you a bigot, you say, ah. Now, if you are none of those things, you're a liberal. Do you see how they force people to think like them? They put limits here. You step out of here, bigot, you come back. You step out of here, zealot. Step out of here, misogynistic. Over what? And they have a whole dictionary of words, all of which they call, I saw the things which they called Trump, megalomaniac, racist, bigot, sexist, homophobic, Islamophobic, whateverphobic. Man, they got their whole dictionary and threw it at him, but he's still their president-elect, in spite of that. And you see, if you are neither of those, you're a liberal. and they have finished you. The next thing you start saying, you know, then they start saying, you start removing certain parts of the Bible and qualifying them. And I've seen Christians doing that and saying, no, you see, you cannot take this thing against homosexuality. That's what that pastor was saying. You cannot take it literally. Because where it is mentioned in Leviticus, it also says do not eat pork. But you see, how many believers eat pork? And how many, you know, what? And man is a top pastor. And they have cornered you. And you have so many people who believe in you. Praise the Lord. That's why I told you last time. The one thing you do is do not expect. Don't want to be accepted by them. Don't give a hoot about their opinion. Do you understand? I don't want to be. If they don't give me a visa to go anywhere, I don't care. But they will give it to me by force, by the way. Because they are not the ones who determine. Do you understand? But even if they didn't, I would stay here. Who has chased me away from here? But you see, I saw people who are Christians in the media. They say, now if you come up with this, they are going to what? They will not give you a visa to America. Is America heaven? What's so special about it? Nothing. Nothing. Anyway, let's go ahead. Praise the Lord. Now, you have to remember this. The idea of all this, and this is to create one mind. When we were reading last time in 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14, it said, I think it's 2 Samuel 19:14. This was when I was talking about hastening the return of the Lord. It says, so he swayed the hearts of all men of Judah, just as the heart of one man, so that they sent his word to the king, saying, return, you and all the servants. Now, this is talking about King David, but I told you it also has an implication for the return of the Savior, where the hearts of all people, the hearts of all the church and all the people of God are one in saying, return. Okay, return to the king. Of course, we know this was David, but we know Christ is the son of David and all that. Now for them, they want to knit hearts together to say to the Antichrist, come. Okay, now those are the two forces in the world. There is no third force, you understand? There are those who are working towards the coming of the Antichrist, and there are those who are working to the coming of the Christ. Now, there is no third option. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Now, there is the God of this world, and there are people whose minds he has blinded. Now, the things you say to those people will never make sense to them, because their mind has been blinded. That's the one category. Also spoken about in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Amen? Now, when it says does not sin, don't misunderstand it. Okay, but it's a whole theological thing here we are talking about. Because then you'll say, then are we really born of God? You are. Amen? If you're born again, you are born of God. What it means that whoever is born of God does not sin, you have to understand that what is born of God in you is your spirit. And your spirit does not sin. Even when the other parts of you sin, as they do, your spirit does not sin. That's why you even feel you feel bad about it. Okay, before your spirit was born of God, you would sin and you're okay with it. There is nothing telling you that what you did was wrong. But now your spirit is born of God, so it does not agree with you, with the other parts of you, when the other parts decide to do certain weird things. Okay. So as long as you're born again, this includes you. You do not sin. Okay? At least that part of you. So, that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not what? Does not touch him. Go ahead. Verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Amen? The whole world of those who are not born again lies under the sway of the wicked one. They are no, so they are under the sway of the wicked one, and we are born of God. Praise the Lord. Yeah, now that's how it is. Now, the idea is two things. Number one, if it will not change, if the information that's the force unto you and all will not change what you believe or the fact that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it will at least change the degree to which, you understand? Now, if it does that, then it will affect other people who could have believed, because you will choose to be a lukewarm believer, and yet God is counting on you to actually change certain people who might not be changed if you do not fit into God's plan. You understand? It's like if you have a team, and the goalkeeper is good, the defender is good, but the strikers are not scoring. You are not going to win a game of football, because certain people are not doing what they are supposed to do. Now, if the strikers are scoring and the defender and the goalkeeper are bad, then you will still not win a game of football, because when you score, you concede. You understand? Now, the only way this game of football is won is when each and every one of us does their bit, whatever it is. You understand? Now, the more you spend time on the tube, listening to the tube, the more actually the nature of Christianity that you get. And of course, there are parts of the tube which enhance your Christianity, because there's Christian television. But you see all this bombardment of entertainment that is feeding the world and making people very busy and all that, and turning people into, very, very, by the way, I pity millennials. Millennials are people who were born, I think, around 1990 onwards. No, honestly. Because there are certain things when we are growing up which we knew for a fact. So if we change, it's because we are being silly. But there are people who have grown up knowing, as that man said, there's a whole generation that don't know anything other than what has come through this tube. And that tube is controlled by six CEOs, six men, all of whom are on the cabinet of the God of this world. All of whom. Now tell me how that does not change an entire society. Because when they meet there, in exchange for the power to get wealth, this is what I want. And the only thing he wants is souls. Okay? You go and become rich, go and do this, go and this. This is what we demand. This is what we demand. So the people who fall in line are presented as heroes, are presented as cool, are presented as up there. You know, the most powerful people. And even the church starts bringing them to interview. I've sat down and thought. And honestly, I know people who don't think like me, who are liberals, who are very intelligent. But I want to know what is special about Oprah, for instance. I don't even think she's good at what she does. Now, she's not. She's not good. Now, there are others like Christiana Manpo. Eh? That one, when I see her, I say, this woman is good, although I don't believe anything she says. Eh? But I know she's talented, you understand? Eh? Because I can see, I'm a media person. So I can tell that, wow, this woman is good. Eh? And others. But then the others, who the only thing they have, and they are the ones who have the highest ranks. Now, the other day I was watching on YouTube an interview in which Tom Cruise was talking to Oprah, and something happened. What are these things? No, went up like this, like for a doll. It was real. And her eyes started glowing a bit. And Tom Cruise went down on his knees. You go and check it out on YouTube. On a live interview, he went down on his knees and tried to confuse it as if it was part of the interview and what. But that is somebody acknowledging somebody who is higher than them in their hierarchy. You understand? Eh? Yeah. But you see here, if somebody went and knelt down, let's just say a man. Okay, if it's a woman, you might say they're Muganda, they are kneeling down as tradition. But if a man went and knelt down to somebody who is higher than them in the spiritual realm, people will say, what? Man, that is human worship and what? In the spiritual realm, Tom Cruise is a star in his own right. But when he's in front of Oprah and she shows, she exhibits her power, The guy goes down on his knees and says, yes, madam, you're the one. Praise the Lord. But you see, when people don't understand how the spiritual realm operates, they start doing things. But let me tell you, until you understand spiritual hierarchy, you'll never be of any use in the kingdom of God. You'll be there, talking, having opinions on everything, and never amounting to anything. Praise the Lord. There are certain people whom we know. Like there are people whom you know, this person. And in the spiritual realm, let me tell you, even if somebody falls from grace, even if they backslide, even if they get into weird things, they never lose their spiritual hierarchy. Just know that. I spoke to you that one time in night prayer when I was talking to you about spiritual authority. I said, in the Bible, Jude says the archangel Michael could not bring a reviling accusation against the devil because the devil was once his superior. Even if the devil failed, he says the Lord rebuke you. You understand? That's in the book of... He cannot say anything against Lucifer because Lucifer was higher than them all. He was an archangel, he was a cherubim, he was in rank, he was higher. So even if he failed and Michael is an archangel, he cannot say anything. Now, that's the spiritual realm does not operate on, you know it. So regardless, he goes with his rank. You understand what I'm saying? Now, somebody, they are these top men of God, and suddenly the guy falls off, then you stand and start giving your opinion. You will be hammered. You leave the man alone. You've never attained to his rank. If he has, and you don't click what he's doing and what, or you have, just leave him alone and go, eh? Go and do your own thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? Don't have an opinion on him. Don't what? Just leave him alone. And go and say other things. Because those words that you speak can have a very big impact in the spiritual realm. And you don't know. And then you wonder why suddenly everything in your life goes haywire. And you say, but you're right. No, now let me tell you. The one thing on which the devil does not challenge God's power. He challenges his authority. The devil does not cause people to challenge God's power. He causes them to challenge God's authority. So he causes people, he gets into, and the first thing he does is to, now when somebody starts challenging, the whole kingdom of God is set in order of authority. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 speaks about that. Now, there are certain authorities that you can never usurp, whether you like it or not. Like, for instance, husband, wife. If you want to tell me, if you show me a home where the wife is the leader, I can definitely tell you it is going to collapse. It was never intended to be like that. Now, your feminism might tell you something different, but it will not work. It will not work. And now that is the clearest sign that you're going to hit a wall somewhere. It was never intended like that. And God's order is God's order. It can never be altered because of you have liberal opinions and what, feminism, what, emancipation and what. It will not. Now, so the minute, you see, even in First Corinthians, let me even, do you know I'm saying things I didn't come to say. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now verse 1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a woman is man. The right translation here, the head of a wife is husband. You understand? In other words, that headship only applies in marriage. It's not man is head of woman. It is husband is head of wife. You understand? So I am not the head of the other woman there until she decides to become my wife. You understand? Eh? When she's not my wife, we are all heirs of salvation. Eh? We are all. But now when it comes into a situation of marriage, it changes. Do you understand that? Okay. Now, but every woman, okay, the head of the woman is man and the head of Christ is God. So God, Christ, man, now this is one line of authority. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors the head, for that is the one and the same as if her head were shaved. Now, what it means by this is the tradition that women had when they are married. They covered. There was a symbol of married women. You understand? For them, that time. So it doesn't mean that you have to come with your head covered. It just means that, for instance, now we have different symbols. We have a ring to show that a woman is married. Then they had covered heads. Indians or certain whatever have that red thing. So when you see those, you've seen those Indians with that red thing, it shows that she's a married woman. Now those are symbols of, you know. Now we have different symbols, like, you know, anyhow. I'll go ahead. If a woman is not covered, let her head also be shorn. But it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved. Let her be covered. For a man indeed ought to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. For if man... Now, of course, if you're a feminist, you tear this part out of the Bible. Go ahead and tear it out. Eh? For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for woman, but woman for man. For this reason, every woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Why because of the angels? Because, why angels? Where do angels come in this? Because the angels can only protect you when you are in the line of authority. When you step out, when... Now, I'm telling you, I've seen instances like this. I had a sister of mine who was a pastor under a chain of churches, and she was doing well, pastoring at all. But then she felt that she disagreed certain things with that chain of churches, so she left and started her own line of ministry. She didn't survive long, she died. Because she came under attack, and she had no authority under her. Now, the things you can do under somebody's authority doesn't mean you can do them on your own. You cannot. Because the minute you step out of authority, the angels that protected you have no basis to protect you. Do you understand that? So now, when you submit yourself to a spiritual authority, complete submission, nothing can come to you until it goes through that person. So you are totally protected from and the things you don't even know about. Now, if you were to see the spiritual world and you see the things you're protected from every day. Now, last time I was telling you about a man called, the other guy called Benson Idahosa, the guy who told the president to reverse. Eh? Now, that guy, he had his spiritual sons. Now, one of them felt, you know, big because he was having a powerful ministry and what, almost rivaling the other guy. But he's on the other guy's grace. And you see now you can think you're all that until you stand on your own grace. I'm telling you, my own sister, blood sister, died. And I realized that she had stepped out of the line of authority and the things that came against her she could not handle. So one day they found her dead in her toilet. And it was very sad. My own sister. So, there are certain things which you don't play games with. Now, until you get to that level of understanding, there is a hierarchy of authority. You step out of it, the devil is waiting for you right there. When you're inside there, there's nothing you can do. Do you understand? Eh? Because they are angels. Now, that's why I say the woman should stay within the for the sake of angels. Because the angels are just looking, okay, you're in the line of authority, no problem. Now, that guy, It was one of his sons felt he's all that. So he went and said something critical about his, you know, father. Now the father became angry and said, and said that I've taken the Holy Spirit away from you. That was, man, that was it. But let me tell you, the man had an international ministry and what? The minute that man said that, the man landed in a foreign country and they arrested him for carrying drugs. And they imprisoned. He was not carrying any drugs. But his name was tainted and what? Then later on they discovered, sorry, the person we are looking for is also called Kableta like you. But they have destroyed your whole name. Now, there are so many tricks the devil can play, but he cannot play them when you are in the line. You understand? And so you go and do your business and what, and there is nothing he can do because you are in the line of authority and you are protected. Until you step out, then the devil says, aha, I have you. Now, the man's ministry was destroyed. Within 3 months, he almost had nothing from being an internationally acclaimed minister. He was back to zero, completed 3 months. So he went back and said, my father, forgive me, for I have sinned. Then the guy said, okay, I've restored the Holy Spirit. And almost immediately, the man came back. Almost instantly, almost as fast as he went down, he came back. Just like that. Because now suddenly, you have protection. You have what? Now, when the devil wants to tempt and mess people up, he gets you away from a line of authority and makes you start seeing holes in your spiritual leader. Then you start saying, yeah, but okay, he's also human. Over what is this? Now you're getting into the temptation of the devil. Remember, that's how he fell from heaven. Now, the minute you start, and now somebody who is your spiritual leader, who is overseeing you and who fights wars that you don't know on your behalf. Now, for you, you can go and work and do things. Perhaps him is last week is fasting, this week is fasting, and what? And you are a beneficiary. Somehow you don't know. Until you start saying, man, that guy is this, is that. And by the way, those things you are saying might even be true. But they don't take away the authority. They do not take away the authority. Praise the Lord. Authority is given by God. And when he gives it, he does not take it back. He just waits for the day of judgment to ask you, Pastor Abraham, how did you use the authority I gave you? But he will never take it back. There is nothing that God gives that he takes away. You just have to give account for it on the day of judgment. You understand? So if the man still has authority and you start hammering in him, bituri. Praise the Lord. You get yourself in all sorts of mixes which you would never have gotten into and you'd live a good life. Praise the Lord. So now, just know that the authority, the devil always tempts by. Now, because in his kingdom, you can't step out of authority. Do you understand? You can't step out of authority. I told you that there are certain things. Now, the American senators were quarreling because the Pope comes to America and their president is waiting for him on the tarmac. And they say president should not wait for anybody on the tarmac. And the truth is the president does not wait for anybody on the tarmac. You understand? Because he's the host. It's like if you go to Kwanjura and you find the father of your bride waiting for you out. He doesn't. He's the owner of the home. You find him seated on his chair. That's how it operates, you understand? But there are people who welcome you who are of a lesser rank. Now imagine if you went to Kwanjura and the father of your bride was the one welcoming you. So now when the president, you wait in your whatever, and perhaps a minister or somebody of that rank, regardless of who the visitor is, goes and welcomes the person and takes them to where you are. Now, but in the spiritual world, they don't want to know. If somebody is higher than you in the spiritual realm, you will forget about those protocols of yours and you'll go and wait for him. Actually, you might even kneel down, even if you're the president of the United States. Because the spiritual realm, they don't want to know. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Okay, let me go back to what I came to say. information war. So six people. There's a reason why I went there. So everything in the world has been controlled according to this information gap. When somebody is in good, is doing what the New World Order wants him to do, he's a freedom fighter, a liberator, you know, he's all these things, you understand? They call them all these wonderful things and, you know, powerful and what. So people accept them, people believe in them. Somebody was telling me the other day that, you know, Obama has been the coolest president. I said, I don't know what cool is. Maybe he spent more time in the refrigerator. But I really don't understand what you mean by that. Because, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, now he's in Germany. He's meeting the fellow liberal people to discuss how they are going to stop the Trump train. Which is also a bit in Britain, that man called Nigel Farage, which is in France, that lady called Marie Le Pen, that nationalist thing. But none of it really is like Trump, like I told you, because those are not nationalism and conservatism and, right-wing movements. Trump was a bit of Christianity, you understand? Now, and how do they stop that? How do they stop globalization? Now, they were saying that there is nothing Trump can do to reverse the globalization train that has already started, and what they're already in defensive mode. But you see, the only thing that matters actually is globalization. Globalization, ultimately, New World Order plan, remove middle class, put ruling class, and servants. So the servants who are allowed to live are those who are adding value to the ruling class. In other words, if you're a computer elite or something and they need you, they let you live. It's not any different from Hitler and how he treated the Jews. So you arrive into concentration camp, you're all going to die at some stage, but those who have some skills will keep you alive. If you can make guns, if you can make gunpowder, if you can do this, if you can treat and what, if you have anything, will keep you alive. Those, the rest, go to the, you know, and get smoked to death. Now, that's what they are planning. It might not happen exactly the way they are planning, because God will have his say ultimately, but it will end in a one world government. But I just want to tell you a few things here. Because in 1975, there was a committee in America which was investigating how much money the CIA spends on deliberate disinformation. That is deliberate misinformation. And they found that they spent $265 million every year on deliberately deceiving people. How do they do that? Using the media. How do they do that? Because the media is controlled by a group of people, and those people are, you know, here is the whole point. It's the same people who are waiting. The media is just one of their business arms. I'll give you an example. The Aga Khan here in Uganda owns Monitor newspaper. But it's one of his least profitable, you understand? He also was also given Nile Hotel, which is now Serena. He's doing power, schools and all that, which perhaps are more profitable. Now, if the government in Uganda does not want anything that is in the Monitor newspaper, they will just talk to Aga Khan and he will bring, because he's not going to compromise his other business interests for your newspaper and your apparent truth. You understand? And that has happened before. And that's how it happens everywhere. Now, the people who also own these media houses also are lobbying government for bigger deals, and the media houses that may not even be profit making, they just keep them there for power and for leverage. They may not even be making big profits. So now, when the government decides we are going, and that this has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat, when they decide we are going in a certain direction, we are going. Now those six people and those people who own are members of what is called the Council of Foreign Relations. I've told you about that. And I told you about that man called Henry Kissinger, who said, when the Council of Foreign Relations decides something, we use our extensive research abilities, research machinery, to find out what is the resistance to that decision we've made, and how to overcome that resistance with emotional and intellectual arguments, and how to discredit and completely destroy people who are insist on being against it. You understand? So if they decide we are promoting homosexuality, they will say, what is the resistance against homosexuality? It is the Bible. How do we destroy that? How do we do that? Then if somebody comes up and insists, they will destroy you. They will make sure people don't take you seriously, and they do that. So they do that. Now, let me rush to the conclusion because we have more serious things to do here. Okay. Now, that budget includes books. Now, this is what it's going to be. You see books which they write, eh? That the CIA subsidizes so many books which are sending out a kind of information. And then they go to New York Times and make them New York Times bestsellers. Then you go to Aristocle and buy the book, and you think this is not controlled media. Yet it is. The guy who wrote the book was paid to write it. You understand? Eh? And to give you that information. But he presents it as... So this includes subsidies for books and other things. These people own all... Now, a former editor of the New York Times wrote this, a guy called John Swindon. I just want to read this for you. There is no such thing at this date of the world in world history in America as an independent press. You know it, and I know it. There is not one of you, he's talking to fellow journalists, there is not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions. And if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. I am paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the newspaper that I am connected with. Others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things. And any of you who would be so foolish as to write honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. If I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalists is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of Mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are the tools and vessels of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. That is an editor, former editor of New York Times and New York Sun, and he's the one who is saying that. So, if that is true for somebody like him, and he knows it, and we all know it, but we still tune in those stations, and we still listen to what they say, and we still believe them. And yet they determine... Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, and we'll still watch television the last thing before we go to sleep. They also own, by the way, those same people, they also own the music labels. Eh? They own... whether you go to music, every area of entertainment... Eh? You have them there. They own... basically, they own the way people think. Eh? And now they have created a generation of millennials who don't know anything apart from what they see on the tube. And those are the people we have to preach the gospel to. Some of them are even here. Praise the Lord. But we have to preach the gospel to them. Eh? The other day, we were preaching the gospel to them in Nakawa. Eh? And they came and we told them the truth about the gospel. But you see, somebody has to give them an alternative view. Because we watch these media channels, but not the last thing before you go to sleep. I wish people knew how important that time is. The last thing before you go to sleep. Make sure it is not watching television or even any kind of television. Even if it takes you 10 minutes, after you finished watching, go and get something else to deliberately think about before you go to sleep. That the Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, that is especially true when you're married. If you're married, don't go to bed when you're angry at your spouse. Don't. Don't. At night, the devil will give you a view on your spouse. Then you wake up in the morning and you're like, I don't know what's wrong with this man. And you're building resentment towards the person. You understand? Yet if you had resolved the argument before you go to sleep, That's why the Bible says, don't let the sun go down. Don't go down to sleep on anger. Eh? Resolve it, settle it, end it there. Even if you sleep at 3 a.m., make sure that you've sorted, resolved the dispute. Because once you close your eyes, there's a lot of things that come to people when they are asleep. Do you understand what I'm saying? So many things come to you. And actually, the most productive time is when you are asleep. Because especially when you're drifting off to sleep, and you can even tell your spiritual state from now, that's when you have bad dreams. That's when you wake up in the morning and you wonder why what seemed a small thing yesterday became a big thing. And then it will become bigger and bigger and bigger. The next thing you know, it leads to decisions and people wonder. Then you go to a counselor and say, what did she do? She did this. What did he do? He did this. And you're like, and because you just let the devil come and mix it up for you, Burundi. And then he gives you his version of events. Then suddenly you see that guy is fake, he's this, he's that, he's even what. I wonder why I even married him, I wonder what. I made a big mistake, there's somebody better, there's what, you know. And all these things come in the course of a night. Now, I showed you the scripture, Psalms 19, verse 2. Day unto day utters what? Speech. Night unto night reveals what? Knowledge. Now, at night is when you get the most knowledge. I don't know how it is, but that's how it is. Now, when you're waking up in the morning is when you actually get a lot of what your mindset was like. And that last thing you had when you went to sleep was the most important thing. Now, some people even have TVs in their bedroom. Do you what? You know those things, eh? Do you view, eh? So the children watch in the sitting room before you go to the bedroom. Because you're prosperous, eh? But you don't know you're destroying your mind, eh? And after some time you find yourself taking views, some things seem to be so radical. Then you listen to things which you once believed and what, then they suddenly sound radical. No, okay, but you know, God, must you do that? Must you say this, eh? You are offending people. But you see, now suddenly your mind has begun changing, and that's not the end of it. So at night, before you go to sleep, at least listen to one nice worship song. If you're too lazy to read the Bible, at least listen to a worship song and sing along. Sing along with it and what? Tune yourself in a different thing. I'm not saying don't watch the tube, go and watch your tube. But because if I told you to not watch the tube, next week you'll not come to the watchman. Because especially the millennials. Now I'm seeing some of them looking at me with eyes. Man, this guy is spoiling our fun. But then you wake up in the morning, and the first thing you should do, by the way, let the first thing you do in the morning be positive. The reason some people are very negative is you go to bed angry, you wake up angry. And then you wake up and then you almost wake up as if you're scared of waking up. Whereas you're supposed to be waking up with joy. Another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, if you're not thinking that way, at least say it. Say it, say it, say it, and make sure that now you watch when you do that. The rest of your day will be good, actually. You'll find that somehow good things are happening, good news is coming, and things like that. And even when bad things happen, you do not react to them the way you would have reacted if you had woken up and psyched yourself into anger. Praise the Lord. So night unto night reveals knowledge. And I wish you, now, listen to this. First of all, there are people here, people who are very bad at knowing what is true and what is false. I mean, especially on social media. I was sitting one day in my office, and the people next to my office, there was a fake story that had gone when the Olympics had just started, that Kiprotich has won a gold medal. How many of you shared that story? And people were sharing it, and the people next to me were saying, yeah, Uganda has won a gold medal. So I felt like I was so angry, because can't you just cross-check? So I felt like storming into their office, holding them by the neck, and telling them that Kiprotich is not yet even in Brazil. The guy was somewhere in Europe. The marathon is the last race in any Olympics. But on the first day, he has already won. I just wanted to go and hold them and tell them, you clowns, can't you check? But since I'm the watchman, I didn't. Because I didn't want to lose my what? My testimony. But you know, now, but you see, now what you didn't realize is that the mainstream media channels are beginning to also own fake websites to deliberately spread lies about certain people. You know, just know there is an information war where even the people who know better are deliberately starting whatever to spread certain things. And those things are always targeting people's race, their gender, especially. Because those are the things which touch people the most. Race and gender. And now, of course, sexual, whatever they call it. But you see, now so many people, you hear, this man is anti, you know, he's sexist, he's what, he said this about women and what. Then suddenly you close off. You don't want to hear anything else he has to say. And you've made a very emotional decision. And now, when you hear anything good, you switch it off because you've already made up your mind. And you see, that's how our minds, that's how we behave. Eh? Because when somebody has believed something, the Lord told me some time ago when I was preparing for the Watchman conference that in the end, I was actually drifting to sleep that moment. By the way, the Lord speaks to me so much in that moment. I was drifting to sleep. I was out of town somewhere. I'd gone to pray. And then he told me, in the end, people believe what makes them comfortable, what enhances their whatever, and so on. He told me three things. I wrote them down somewhere. I don't remember them here. That he told me that that's what people believe. Now, when the devil attacks your area of belief and makes you something that you hold dear, like your gender, like your, you know, that's if you hold your gender too seriously. I told you here, don't. Eh? Like your race. Eh? Then they tell you that you've had the story of connecting. I was listening to you on CNN. By the way, they tell the most lies. Now, they are CNN, I mean, Facebook. No, Facebook has been put under pressure that because people are putting false news, false news, false news. And of course, there is a lot of false news, which people believe and decide accordingly. For instance, there was a story on Facebook saying that the Pope had endorsed Donald Trump. It was false. But so many Catholics voted him because of that. But it was put there by Donald Trump's spin doctors. Eh? So there is a lot. And it was shared 800,000 times. Shared 800,000 times. And it is false. But you see, there is, now you have to be, because what you know about different things is going to determine how you receive things here and there. Now, the other day, somebody was asking me about, you know, there's this chain marketing thing and what do you think about it? Eh? Because there are so many things where you invest, what you believe, whom you associate with, all that is going to be depend on the information that comes to you. Now, there are people, even serious people, who are deliberately put out there. Now, Facebook came under pressure initially because one of their employees ran away and said that all conservative news, they deliberately don't put it on the trending items. Because so many people go to Facebook, what is trending? Then they click on those. You know, like those websites, eh? Most read and what, eh? Usually don't read the whole newspaper, but they will tell you what they want you to read, most read. Eh? But who decides what is most read? They decide. Now, they decided that certain news items, which they want people to read, they put them on most trending on Facebook. So this guy said they are anything to do, and now they use key words. If you write anything, anti this, anti that, it immediately stands out, then they read it, then they remove it, then they will put it somewhere where only your few friends read it. It will not be among the trending. Now, if it is something that they want you to listen to, they put among the training. So, now, this is just beginning. Ultimately, it's going to lead into complete censorship of what is true. Why? What's the reason they're censoring? Because they are putting things which are not true. Who decides what is true? Truth is, relative. Okay? It's not like facts. Truth is different for different people. Okay? Now, so if somebody says that man is against blacks, I was seeing people crying and what, the man hates blacks and what? And okay, I'm a black, but the thing is, it's not the most important part of me. There are other more important things about me than my, you know, than my race. And I'm not going to be defined by my race. Do you understand? But people who fall for it, you know, and there are so many, the American guys who came here, and somebody was telling me about them. They came here and met some believers, and they go among believers, and they tell them, no, this Jesus is a white conspiracy. Conspiracy of the whites to make Jesus a what? A white. Jesus was black. So they say, you know, in the book of Revelation, they said his feet were like bronze, like refined bronze. And bronze is actually brownish. So they say, you see, Jesus was a black. It's in the Bible. Now, okay, now you see, okay, and now they actually recruited so many people, and then the next thing you know, the guy has developed a long beard, saying, no, this is a conspiracy of the Bazungu. Jesus was a black. He's a black. So they came to me, I told him he was the savior. I mean, how do you, but you get off the mulamwa on Baba, and then you go on trivial things, absolutely trivial things, and then they win over people, because they are appealing to something that is so sensitive to you. And now I decided some time ago, I am not going to let things like race be my primary identity. Okay? Paul says that, what does he say? Whatsoever things, he says, you know, in Philippians, he says, you know, at the time the Jews believed that they were superior to everybody else, pure, superior, and all that. And actually, even the other people had kind of believed that they are superior. So Paul says, I am a Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin. Concerning this, I am a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. You know, he gives his credentials as a Jew, and says, but whatever credentials I had there, I counted them all as what? Rubbish. For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Now, do you know why he was persecuted? Do you know why the Jews hated the gospel? Because of that. Because the gospel says there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. You know, it says between Scythian and what? There is no Jew, there is no philosopher, there is no Greek, there is no Scythian, there is no barbarian. We are all one in Christ. And the Jew says, what? You compare me with a barbarian? There is no way that gospel is true. But you see now, but now there is a woman who came here the other day from a very powerful ministry, a Muzungu. And then she came and what? And she has a very good gospel. But the first thing she said is, you know the whites were, God made the whites to be superior. So you blacks have to accept that you are inferior. Guys just escorted away from the pulpit and told her don't care. She went back to America. But you see now, that's a woman who is a fool, really. Because how do you sacrifice the opportunity to preach the gospel because you want to preach the superiority of your race? Do you see that somebody who is messed up? Because you could have told people about Jesus Christ and they receive him. Now you're there preaching the superiority of your race because you've made it your primary identity and not your Christianity. Paul says, I am what? A bond servant of Christ, an apostle called to preach the gospel. That is, anyhow, I've said a lot today. Now, as I end, information war, use the internet while you still can. If I'm big on, by this time next year, by the end of next year, there will be a lot of censorship. It has already started. Keywords you type, you're ready. Now let me tell you, I already know that there are sites which I go to research some of the things I do, and certain things happen where you see they don't want you to go. And people think this is, and where you see there is a bit of a red flag and this, because of the things you post on Facebook and sometimes even the ministry things and all that, where there are flags. Now, like for instance, when they are flagging to search for terrorists, where you, anything that you mention, Al-Shabaab, what, or Al-Qaeda, immediately it's flagged out, and then they read, what is it about? Okay, that's okay. What's it about? Now, the others, which now you can tell. Now, I was trying to do a serious research on Bilderbergs. And I'll tell you that your machine blanks out and you have to restart. I'm telling you. Because there are certain things which, if, and they, now that's the beginning is now. You wait, you'll see. Where you will get a virus, you do what? If you go into certain areas. Now, when I go into areas where they want, Now, things which were once, now Illuminati, now everybody is talking Illuminati, eh? But they forget it's a secret society. And they forget they actually recruit, but it's now a marketing gimmick. Now, the next thing, now Bilderberg is no longer a secret. Once it was a conspiracy, now it's out there. Now, the other conspiracies, the other secret organizations, which I'm not going to talk about right now, but which are going to be very key in total, complete. I told you they are going to use internet, they are going to use television, they are going to use movies, they are going to use pornography, they are going to use what? If you want access to any of those series, what? You have to fill in a form, which does two things. It gets your information, which they will need for the New World Order purposes. Remember when the mark of the beast comes, now all that data is being collected. And by the way, these are, we are talking about days which are not far from now. Eh? Then they will also need it. By this time next year, there will be a secret code, eh? A code which they will use, and they can discontinue you from www. Eh? If you come up with views that are contrary to what they believe. Just wait and see. It has really started right now. And they own those platforms. Eh? They own them. Praise the Lord. They own them. And they are the cabinet of the God of this world. Glory to God. Amen.